Stay tuned after the show for a message from Amazon.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing.
And I'm Jake Sherman. This is new. John Boehner's new book has a name, a cover, and a release date, and it's all as delicious as you would have hoped. On the House, a Washington memoir will be released April 13th, 2021. The cover has a photo of Boehner drinking red wine with a cigarette burning in an ashtray in a very Washington-like room. St. Martin's Press is the publisher, and the deal was negotiated by Javelin. Matt Latimer, the founder of Javelin, says it's the most honest memoir about how Washington really works ever written. That's a high bar. It includes stories about George Bush, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, and Joe Biden.
Capitol Hill is approaching an exceedingly volatile stretch. Government funding is hitting a slight snag, and the Supreme Court nomination process is about to launch. On government funding, members of Congress in both parties are peeved that critical ag funding has been left out of the stopgap funding measure, which is designed to fund the government until December 11th. Republicans fought for the money and Democrats resisted. This would appear to be only a speed bump for the moment, although the government will shut down in 8 days absent congressional action. The House will vote on the stopgap measure today. It will pass on something resembling party lines. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell then has a decision to make. He can try to amend it with farm money, but we expect Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer will block that, so McConnell will have to decide how to proceed.
Latest in the Supreme Court's today, the Senate lunch will be focused on the Supreme Court nomination process, at least in part. It begins around 12:30 and will wrap with the GOP leadership news conference around 2. Here's what we're watching for. Mitt Romney told a group of us last night that he was going to wait until he spoke to his colleagues to comment on the Supreme Court process and the timing of the nomination. Our colleagues Burgess Everett and Marianne Levine write that they don't see Romney splitting with Trump, and here are a few Supreme Court truisms. In considering when a Supreme Court nominee will get a floor vote, think of this. McConnell will move when he has of votes, not a minute before and not a minute later. There is a genuine desire to hold the vote before the election, then that looks like it'll happen because McConnell is racking up the votes quite quickly.
As of now, Senator Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski have said they don't believe a vote is appropriate before the election. McConnell can only lose 2 more members. Romney could be one, but it's tough to see who the other one is at this moment. Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican of South Carolina, told Sean Hannity plainly last night that they had the votes and they're going ahead with hearings and a floor vote in the next few weeks. There seems to be a general recognition that it is way too risky to hold the vote during a lame duck. Number one, Senator Martha McSally, the Republican of Arizona, is expected to lose and will be replaced by a Democrat in November. And number two, it could put other Republicans in a political predicament they'd rather not be in.
Democrats have limited remedies to slow this process down in the immediate. The House Democrats, despite what they may say, have no ability to slow a Supreme Court nomination. It's a unicameral process by design. A shutdown wouldn't even slow it down, since the Senate would be open and running absent government funding. Adam Gentleson, the former Harry Reid staffer, laid out some ideas for Senate Dems in the New York Times. If Senate Democrats want to truly change the composition of the Supreme Court and the legislative filibuster should they win the majority, they need to be united in their strategies and threats, which makes them not threats, but rather idle ideas for the moment. For example, Dianne Feinstein said she's opposed to blowing up the filibuster and told Bloomberg's Daniel Flatley to ask me when we win the majority about adding seats to the Supreme Court.
In our new Politico Morning Consult poll, 50% of those surveyed said the winner of the presidential election in November should pick Ruth Bader Ginsburg's successor, while 37% said Trump should fill the seat. And eek. The poll also found that 69% of Americans believe the country is on the wrong track, compared to just 31% who say it's on the right track. Democrats have a 6-point advantage on the generic congressional ballot, beating Republicans 47-41. And Joe Biden has a 7-point advantage when it comes to who is trusted to lead during a crisis, 47-40. 48% of those polled plan to watch some or all of the presidential debate, but do not anticipate it will sway their vote. 47% of those polled said they trust Joe Biden if he claimed victory November 3rd. 36% said they'd trust President Trump. Here's a bright spot for Trump, though. 74% of those polled say the economy is a very important issue when going out to vote. Trump has a 1-point advantage on the economy edging Joe Biden 46-45.
Ryan Lizza is up with an explainer why Biden is stiff-arming the left on court packing and the filibuster, while the AP has a story on Trump interviewing Amy Coney Barrett at the White House. The Wall Street Journal editorial board is making the argument that a good reason for the Senate to vote before November 3rd is having a full court of 9 justices in the event of a contested election. Tell that to Merrick Garland. The Biden campaign has a new minute-long digital spot urging people to get hype and go vote, an upbeat spot featuring Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. DCCC is putting some IE money deep into Republican seats, its latest sign that it's trying to put Kevin McCarthy deeper into the House minority. The DCCC IE is putting $631,000 into Colorado's 3rd Congressional District. This is the seat that Lauren Boebert, a QAnon curious Republican, knocked off Scott Tipton in a primary. The Democrat, Diane Mitch Bush, is running ahead of Boebert in some polls. The reservation is split between Colorado Springs and Grand Junction.
Dems are putting $570,000 into Michigan's 3rd Congressional District, which is currently held by the retiring Libertarian but once Republican Representative Justin Amash. The district has been in Republican hands for nearly 30 years. This is a split between Grand Rapids broadcast and cable. And the DCCC continues to go up big in Texas. They are reserving another $622,000 in Texas 23, the border seat being vacated by GOP Representative Will Hurd. Republicans have privately written this seat off, as Gina Ortiz Jones has consistently been beating Tony Gonzalez. They have also reserved $830,000 on San Antonio English broadcast that can be used for Ortiz Jones or to boost Wendy Davis over GOP Representative Chip Roy in the Austin to San Antonio seat. And this is new. Happening tonight, Anina Kumar is reporting that Joe Biden will raise $3 million at a virtual fundraiser hosted by Impact, a group working to elect Indian Americans.
Natasha Korecki notes that Biden ignored the Supreme Court fight and slammed Trump on COVID in Wisconsin yesterday. Rank-and-file union members are continuing to snub Biden for Trump. The Post has a look at how an unknown Idaho family organized the Portland rally that turned deadly. Here's his on tap for Trump's Tuesday. He'll receive an intel briefing at 12:30. He'll leave the White House at 5:35 en route to Pittsburgh, and he'll arrive in Pittsburgh at 6:50 and give a campaign speech at 7 p.m. Trump will depart at 8:30 and return to Washington, and he'll arrive at the White House at 9:45.
On the trail, Joe Biden will attend a virtual fundraiser tonight. Kamala Harris will travel to Flint, Michigan, where she will tour small businesses impacted by COVID-19. Afterwards, she will head to Detroit to participate in a quote-unquote shop talk roundtable conversation with black men. Harris will participate in a voter mobilization event ahead of early voting in Michigan that begins on September 24th. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.
Amazon is investing $18 billion in 2020 on ways to help small and medium-sized businesses reach more customers worldwide. That provides more selection for you and helps independent businesses grow and thrive. Learn more through aboutamazon.com.